A wheel within a wheel. Ezekiel 10, verse 9. When I looked, and behold, the four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheel was as the color of beryl stone. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Beryl is another name for the Spanish golden topaz. The topaz that is usually found is a golden color very related to amber. The Apostle John, in his vision, as recorded in the book of Revelation, saw a celestial material similar to beryl. He said that it had a pure gold-like appearance and yet looked also like transparent glass. He saw that even the streets were paved with that same heavenly material. The same spirit that was in the cherubim was in the wheels. All known spiritual substance in heaven are transparent and or light-emitting. Nothing casts any shadows. Also, spiritual substance seems to have a life in its own. As a tree has life but not animal life, so spiritual substance has life also. But it's not angelic. The wheels are a graphic paradox of intense activity and at the same time illustrate activity at ease and rest. A man can travel high in the sky, effortlessly and tranquilly, and in comparative comfort. In that same airplane, mighty turbine wheels, one within another, are turning in controlled violence, unimaginable. Yet, that tremendous activity of power is neither noticed nor realized by the casual traveler. The wheels of the cherubim existed and operated in a dimension and ambience of another creation. Ezekiel saw one each of the four wheels beside one each of the cherubim. Yet, at the same time, they were not separated. They were united as the wheels were like wheels within wheels. Obviously, such a uniting and yet a separation of material substance is impossible in the world that we call planet Earth. Not impossible of spiritual substance in the celestial world. Human logic and the physical laws of Earth do not rule in the world of the Spirit or in the heavenly realms. Jesus spoke of the mysterious union of God in Christ. Christ in us, and we in Christ, which is a uniting of three separate and distinct entities, yet abiding one within the other at the same time. In John chapter 17 and verse 21, we read that in Jesus' prayer, he said that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Working for, or with, or in God. There are three stages of development in which the servant of the Lord works for God. The first level is just that, working, laboring in full energy for God. That is inspiring and admirable, but is much labor using abundance of energy. The beginning servant joins the ranks of God's small helpers, doing their very best to further the kingdom of God and his church. If one stays in that beginning stage too long, he will surely wear himself out. More than one inmate of a rest home was once a preacher of a fine church, or an eminent school teacher, or Christian school leader. He has worked too hard, and finally gives out exhausted. There is a second level of service in the kingdom of God in which the Christian worker is quite conscious of his lack of power and capacity for such a Herculean task. Therefore, he determinedly and conscientiously seeks the Lord in prayer, beseeching heaven for the much-needed help. And God answers that prayer and sends him help in time of need, and he finds himself working together with God. Paul speaks of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, where he says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." But what a rest, what a relief, when God's servant finds the wheels and the miraculous, powerful help. What a difference it makes in and for him. He no longer will be working for God, but is working through him and finding the way into him. Ruth worked for, and with, and in Boaz. The story of Ruth working the fields of Boaz aptly illustrates the developing servant in those three stages. First, Ruth, after the trauma of immigration into a land where her race was not welcome, finds herself working hard, gleaning the strayed bits of grain scattered here and there in the hot sun in the field of Boaz. Gleaning does not gather much grain because it is picking up the grain that the sharp-eyed harvesters overlooked. And if the reapers overlooked too much, they would be severely reprimanded by the overseer. Once in a while, one little ear of grain would fall, and the gleaner would find it and pick it up and put it in a little bag. Perhaps, after a long day's work, when her gathered grain was actually threshed out, the gleaner might gather a pint, hopefully enough to take home to have a good supper. Gleaning was hot, backbreaking work. Ruth was gleaning with all her heart, thankful that she could do something to make her new life in Israel worthwhile. Slothful she was not. In the late forenoon, she had a very interesting interview with Boaz, the youthful owner. In that interview, much is revealed about the spirit and attitude of Ruth, as well as Boaz. In scripture typology, Ruth is a type of the bride of Christ, and Boaz is a type of Christ. As the result of that interview, Boaz invited Ruth to have lunch with him. The result of the luncheon together, and after she had gone back to the manual work of picking up bits of grain, one here, a broken head of grain there, another one way over there, Boaz decided to help Ruth without her knowing and said to the reapers, "Let fall handfuls on purpose and let her go right up to the very sheaves to glean and do not reproach her." Ruth had been working in the fields of Boaz but was really working for herself as well as gleaning his field. Ruth was working with the mysterious help of Boaz. He was making the grain come to her hand to facilitate her harvesting. He was providing the way and opening the doors without her asking for it. And for the afternoon of labor, she had gathered half a bushel of grain. The invisible help of Boaz made an enormous difference by the time the day was over. However, after a time, Ruth married Boaz, the owner of the field. And after that, she never went forth into the harvest field again to glean for her supper. The servants of the owner brought all the grain to her that she ever wanted. She was his wife, the owner, the sharer of his possessions as well as his affections. He would see to it that his beloved never lacked nor labored in the hot sun of his fields again. First the cherubim were seen working for God. Then, following the baptism of fire, they were running like lightning with wings, transporting power to their feet. Then they found the wheels that are the life that is hid with Christ in God, the Holy Spirit of anointing like flames of fire, energizing the wheels, made their work effortless. In Zechariah 4 and verse 6, we read, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The same substance, the same spirit that was in those creatures was in the wheels. Now the cherubim had moved into his spirit. They had become his substance, and everywhere they went from then on, the wheels went with them. Far back in the beginning of creation in the Garden of Eden, there were 6 days in which the Creator created. Then there was a day of rest. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that there is a rest to the people of God. The word rest is the plural of Sabbath. there is a whole long period of Sabbath. Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath for the people of God. However, before the Sabbath come, the servant has to get through his 6 days of labor. The heavy, dreary laboring is over, but the divine orders are not over. The commands of God are still there, but the developing servant has come to the end of himself. That is a wonderful place to come. The developing servant will know that he is getting to the end of himself and his own labors when his prayers are less and his worship more. In some cases, a servant is so self-sufficient that little help of the Holy Spirit is required, because his little gleaning helpers think that they are doing just fine as they are. Dear, hard-driving, striving people they are. If they could just find the wheels, if they could ever get to that place where they are yoked together with him, the place where they are in Christ and Christ in them, a wheel within a wheel. The spirit in the flaming creatures and the spirit in the wheels was one and the same spirit. They were united. They were in the fire and the fire in them. The fiery presence of God permeated them all. All those servants accomplished, they affected by the simple but all-powerful ministry of the presence of God. The all-pervading presence of God just being there reaches out to the need of the one whose cry is heard by the divine ear. God manifests his inimitable presence, and the more it is manifested, the more things are just done. He does his work in hearts and lives so wondrously. He does not make any great big show of it, no pyrotechnics, no thundering display of lightning bolts. He just releases the divine word, and lo, the need is met, and the deed is done, and the heart of the needy is again at rest. The servant, who is working in the power of the gifts of the Spirit, will have a more exciting and stimulating time. The gifts are truly wonderful and will also do wondrous things. They will work deliverance, miracles, and healings. Those signs and wonders will convince the doubting mind, awaken the slumbering conscience, and cause the lonely heart to know that there is a God, that he is real, and that he cares and comes to them. With all the wonders and infinite grace the gifts demonstrate, there is yet the incomparable ministry of the Spirit himself, performed through the irresistible power of the divine presence. That is the ministry of the fire creatures flying with the Spirit in the wheels. There is a story told of the ministry of the well-known evangelist Charles G. Finney. One day, Mr. Finney, being invited by the owner of a large factory to visit his establishment, was walking through the weaving section where many people were working. However, as he walked by the weavers, the machines began to stop one after another as he walked by. When Mr. Finney and the owner had walked halfway through, they looked back, and about half of the workers were on their faces crying out to God for forgiveness and mercy. The owner, feeling also the power of the wondrous presence, stopped the entire mill, and Reverend Finney held a service right there and then. There was a revival in that city that began in the weaving mill that morning. Mr. Finney, with a heart of flaming fire, just walked through. But what a difference it made in the ambience as he walked through the mill. He was flying on a wheel within a wheel. There was no conscious or hidden effort, strain, or stress. But there was a flow. There was that inimitable and irresistible essence of the Almighty God. That mysterious substance, that beryl, that topaz, that amber, that transparent gold, that something indefinable, it is the very essence of the presence and the nature of God. So high, they were awesome. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 18. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And the rings were full of eyes round about them four.